It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower here on the Horn. Craig Way, Jeff Howe with you. Snoop Daniel, a producer alongside as well. Clean up from hour number one as we go through the list. Some of these things, I'm not remember what our conversation was at the time, but somebody else in response to Jeff Howe receiving his first COVID vaccination, round one of his Moderna, says, Jeff, my first shot affected me on day two. Headaches, a little sluggish. So not out yet. So,
I mean, headaches, a little sluggish. That describes me every day of the week.
I mean, it wouldn't be that bad. Female listeners 17 want you to know that there's some robot insurance for you. You can get robot insurance.
Okay.
Because we know how you feel about the impending robot wars, such as you say.
I wonder how that conversation would go over with the wife. I need robot insurance.
Yeah, but you know,
it's only $100 a month, honey.
she also saw you just spend whatever it was you spent on an Emmett Smith rookie card, right?
I don't think she hasn't seen the bill yet.
Have you even mentioned? Does she track your finances? Is she the one keeping?
Yeah, but I gave her a ballpark of what I was going to spend on it, and she was cool with it. So.
Did it stay in the ballpark?
It stayed in the...
It was in the upper deck of the ballpark?
Yeah.
Like on the roof of the ballpark?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Cecil Fielder hitting it on the roof of Tiger Stadium back in the day?
Something like that. Hey, truck driver says getting a second Pfizer shot. All right. So, good on you. Hope everybody is well and healthy coming out of this. I've gotten some questions about this, the baseball game tonight, the scheduled baseball game tonight. This happens without fail every year during a Longhorn baseball season. If there is the threat of inclement weather, without fail, I will get hit up with texts, sometimes with messages, folks saying, is the game still on? Is it soup yet? Is it still on? And the answer has to be, unfortunately, the game is on until it's not. In other words, I don't have any insight into what those who are doing the thinking about whether or not they are considering postponing a game. And the reason why I say this is because, again, folks are asking. And we had some rain. Did you get some rain down in Hayes County yesterday?
There was, yesterday and this morning when I let the dogs out, there was some rain on the... I noticed on the back deck.
Yeah. Snoop, what about the Del Valle domicile that you share with two guys, including one who's a smoker?
Oh,
did you have to go out and stand in the rain while he smoked?
No.
Did you have to do that?
No. No hail, though. But I did see the most beautiful picture.
Hail, though, you're saying?
Hail, though. Liberty Hills football field looked incredible.
Yeah.
With all the hail littering.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's pretty, but I guess deadly?
Yeah. Okay. I Jeff, of course, comes from Northwest Williamson County. I'm from I live in Southwest Williamson County, Cedar Park, and we're fortunate. Didn't get any hail. Did get rain, but just up the road from us, neighboring Leander, they got some pretty significant hail. And over in Pflugerville, they got some good hail.
So is that coming back again today?
I don't know about the hail so much, but we could have some more rain. And it could be some pretty intense thunderstorms this afternoon.
Oh.
That was what the forecast had said. Therefore, which brings me full circle back to this, folks, it's the baseball game on. It's the baseball game on. And for now, the game is still on. So it's on until they tell us otherwise. I would imagine this. I'll say this. if the decision was made not to play the ball game today, you could bank on a doubleheader tomorrow, and it would probably be a 7 and a 9. I'm just guessing that it would be a 7-inning game followed by a 9 is what it would do since it's non-conference. And then, of course, the regularly scheduled game Sunday. That's a guess based on the past if that were to happen. But right now, the game is still on. I've been told nothing to the contrary. So for now, the plan is still to have a 6:30 first pitch. We'll have it for you on the horn, 6:15 airtime. By the way, also on 105.3 The Bat, Texas softball, 6 o'clock first pitch, 5:44 airtime. Texas is 31-3. They're 6-0 in the Big 12, and they're number 7 in the country. They're in Norman to play Oklahoma. OU is 30-0. It's pretty difficult to do at any level of softball. They're 30-0. They're number 1 in the country. They also are 6-0. So that's a first pitch at 6 o'clock there from, I believe it's the Merida Hines Softball Complex. And our good friend David Garrett will actually call the play-by-play on that. Andrew Haynes is taking part in a family wedding this weekend, so he won't be there for that. So Dave will be up there for the call of that one, Texas against OU in softball. Big matchup there. No question about it.
It's always big, Craig, when the Longhorns and Sooners get together. It doesn't matter if it's football, softball,
Tiddlywinks. There you go, Tiddlywinks. They used to always say that about A&M. Yeah, man, Longhorns and Aggies are playing in Tiddlywinks. It's a big thing.
Have you ever actually played Tiddlywinks?
I did.
Yeah.
Was a kid. It's very Tiddlywinkish. There's not much to it.
What's more exciting, Tiddlywinks or the game where you've got like the ball and string attached to the cup and you got to get the ball in the cup?
Probably the ball in the cup.
Okay.
Neither were that entertaining, I can tell you that. I'd rather have the paddle ball. You know, you had that going.
Paddle ball. Okay.
With the ball and the string.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing that kind of thing. All right. A couple of things to talk about. We talked a lot about NCAA transfer portals and guys who've been in and out of the portal and where they might go. Some of the latest news, speaking of Oklahoma, Davion Harmon, the point guard from Denton Guyer, who has been at OU, has entered the portal.
And he's had contact with Texas.
So there's that. Alondis Williams is in the transfer portal from OU, and we've been told, Brady Manick also?
Brady Manick, I believe, yeah, is going to look to play another year elsewhere.
Okay. So that's happening there. The landing spot for Micah Peavy is now known.
Yeah, Brady Manick is going to look to play elsewhere. North Carolina apparently has come through with an offer Brady Manick.
Okay. The landing spot for Micah Peavy is now known.
TCU?
Yep. Going to head to TCU is Micah Peavy. Now, I've not read, heard, been told anything about whether David Peavy is added to the staff or hired or anything like that, because that was speculated a lot, a la Cade Cunningham and his dad, got hired at Oklahoma State and Cade followed. I have not heard that would happen.
No, and I think that would have a little more staying power. Like, did you see Mike Boynton announced, I think it was last week or week before, that Cade Cunningham's brother is no longer a member of the Oklahoma State basketball staff?
Really?
Yeah. Did you see who he hired, though, to fill the staff position?
No.
Or Terrence Wrencher. He was an assistant at Creighton.
Right. I was told that he was hired. That's right. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
So,
lifetime Longhorn.
Absolutely. Had been at Texas State, and then he'd been to Creighton, and Terrence is added to the staff there. So there's more percolating going on with the NCAA transfer portal.
Yeah, and one interesting piece of news, Craig, on the basketball front, hoops is just going to be wild. Like the basketball transfer process, I don't know if people are just now waking up and realizing this. It's nuts every year.
Mm-hmm.
The basketball transfer rate, pretty much take the normal transfer rate for quarterbacks in college football, and just apply that in general to college basketball. That's what a typical offseason is. But like I said, we've got 1,200, 1,300 kids in the transfer portal. That I think that's not including walk-ons. So there's going to be a ton of roster movement this year like we've never seen before. That said, so it's going to be a long process to get this roster put together like we keep talking about. But, Craig, the interesting thing for me is when you look at Texas, and we know they've added Devin Askew from Kentucky.
Yep.
We know they've added Timmy Allen from Utah, who's one of the top few handful of transfers in the country. As a matter of fact, CBS Sports rank the top transfer prospects in college basketball, the top transfers, Timmy Allen came in at number 4 in terms of guys that have already chosen their new school. So, and again, average was first team all Pac-12 forward, average 17.2 points, 6.4 rebounds, and 3.9 assists per game for Utah this past season. But one of the top uncommitted guys in the portal who's looking elsewhere, Tanner Groves from Eastern Washington, who was kind of one of the early darlings of the first round of the NCAA tournament, 17.2 points per game, 8 rebounds per game, 1.3 assists per game, 1.1 blocks per game, 6'9", 235, and he definitely fits the mold of a guy Texas is looking for. You know, Craig, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, you know, with Jericho Sims, and he had 35 in a first-round loss to Kansas in the NCAA tournament. But we talked about this with Jericho Sims. He hasn't made a decision yet, and maybe he's weighing his options. And I think one of the things he's got away is, at his age, you know, do you really want to be in the G League or playing overseas as a rookie or wherever at 24? I know that's not that old, but in terms of in basketball terms, you're starting to get up there in age, especially for a rookie. So that's really what Jericho Sims and Matt Coleman also, that's what he's got to take into consideration when making this decision. But if you lose Jericho Sims and you can replace him, if you can replace him with a guy like Tanner Groves along with Timmy Allen, I mean, now you can get into the discussion of, okay, how much really of a drop-off is there going to be in your front court? Obviously, in terms of depth and athleticism, I think you take a hit, but just in terms of guys that are really good basketball players and proven commodities, man, Texas ends up with Tanner Groves, Craig. You're going to have a top 5 or 6 that are going to be able to compete in this league.
I'm curious about something, only because this thing is so, like you said, crazy, you know, wild, wild west scenario type thing. You have CBS's list handy?
I do,
top. Okay. I want to compare it with ESPN's.
Okay.
To see how much commonality there. Who does CBS have listed as the number one transfer, the number one transfer on their transfer rank?
These are guys that have already made decisions, so it might vary a little bit. Walker Kessler's number one for CBS.
Okay, ESPN has Kessler number 2. Of course, he's going to Auburn. Does that mean that CBS has Marcus Carr number 1? Number 2?
Has he picked the school yet?
No, and that's okay. Yeah. So yours is only with that. Okay. Yeah. They've got Marcus Carr number 1, and they said he's also entered his name into the draft. And they said, the story written by Jeff Borzello, he said, but it's hard to imagine him getting passed as the top transfer available. All right, you said CBS has Timmy Allen number 4?
Okay, yeah, okay, so I've got a better list for you. Eric Bossy, one of our national basketball recruiting analysts at 24/7 Sports, put together a list of the top transfers. So this is regardless of guys that have picked school. So yes, so Eric Bossy's got Walker Kessler number 1, Marcus Carr number 2.
Okay, so it's the other way around on ESPN. Now, you said CBS has Timmy Allen number 4?
I'm looking at the 24/7 list of this is just total guys, not guys that have picked the school. 24/7, Eric Bossy does have Timmy Allen at number 4.
Okay. ESPN has him number 3. And then just going down the list, a couple of other ones. You mentioned Oscar Tshiebwe. I'd heard he was going to transfer to Kentucky. He's doing that. ESPN has him ranked 7th. Tshiebwe, the big kid, is a freshman last year for West Virginia. And he chose Kentucky over Miami, Illinois, and NC State. And this was a story that Bob Huggins told to, I think there were some NBA scouts who were asking asking about Tshiebwe. And they said, well, what happened? And they said, well, he went home. You know, he was from, I think, the Congo, I think it was. And when he went home during the pandemic. And when he came back, he had gained all this weight, more than he needed to be carrying. So it was that kind of thing. And he said, Bob Huggins asked him, what have you been eating? And he said, gummy bears.
Wow.
He loves gummy bears.
Yeah.
So
if you're going to be if you're going to be a Division I basketball player, you can't have my diet.
Yeah. So apparently he ate a lot of gummy bears. But anyway, he's transferred.
Gummy bears are good. I'll give
you that.
Don't get the sugar-free ones, trust me. Bad day.
Yeah. Okay, where does CBS have Mac McClung?
I actually think this Eric Bossy list that I'm looking at from 24/7, this was before McClung entered the portal.
Okay. Okay.
Just run down the ESPN list.
The ESPN list has McClung 11th.
Okay.
On the deal. I'm just they have Davion Harmon 14th. Just looking through this. Caleb Mills of Houston, who's going to Florida State, at 16th. Some other ones. Namari Burnett, the kid from Texas Tech, is going to Alabama. They had him 21st. They have Devin Askew 22nd there. Bryce Thompson from Kansas, played in 20 ball games, is not committed to anybody, but he's transferring. And I was looking, there was somebody else I was trying to get to. Tanner Groves, according to their list, is 32nd.
Okay.
Is what they have. They have 32nd there. So that was the other one that I was looking for. Rasir Bolton, Iowa State, who was hurt a lot of the year. He had a bad ankle thing. He didn't even play in the game that Texas won in Ames there, the makeup game. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's a guy who started his career at Penn State. Mm-hmm. Then he transferred to Iowa State. But he's going to transfer as well. That's another one. He was when he's healthy, he's a good player. Brady Manick, they have rated 44th. Kyler Edwards, 46th.
Headed to Houston.
Micah Peavy, 50th there. So there it is. Some of the their top 50 of the transfers and how they have them rated as well.
But it is, man, if you're a college basketball fan, it is going to be wild just to track rosters of teams that you're interested in and find out who went where. I mean, it really is like the closest thing. It's free agency without calling it free agency.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you say, with the one-time transfer,
which I don't mind, Craig. Like I said yesterday, with the one-time transfer deal, I'm cool with it. It just is what it is. But you know,
got your one shot.
I think for instead of the people complaining about the nature of the one-time transfer, well, okay, but just accept that it's here. It's happening. So just get your head around it and understand that you're the roster of your favorite college basketball team. No matter who it is, it's going to look drastically different than it did this past season.
No question about that. Snoop, I want your input on this before we get to the break here, and then we'll have the notebook. I was reading a thing from the food page, the Love food page, and online, and they have what they are called hidden delights. And it says, sure, you're familiar with Burger King and the likes, but do you ever think about the small name joints that you're missing out on? So these are like fast food places that aren't that big of names. Now, some of these names you're going to hear and go, well, yeah, that's not a small name. You're going to hear some of those. But some of them I'll bet you've never heard of. So I'm going to ask both of you guys if you've heard of some of these places, okay? Because they're in different parts of the country, too. They're not national chains. First one, Wawa. W-A-W-A. Wawa. Have you heard of it?
A baby's asking for water?
No. It's the name of a fast food place. This is why you wouldn't have heard of it.
It's more of an East Coast thing, right?
Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, Florida, and Washington. So meatball hoagies and different coffees and things like that. Okay. All right. Burgerville. Did you ever have anything from Burgerville?
Can't say that I have.
Because you haven't been to Washington and Oregon, right? Okay.
I've been to Washington.
Cookout. Now, I know Cookout. Have you been to Cookout? It's mainly in the South.
I've been to Cookout.
Although there's some in Maryland and Kentucky, but Georgia, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia. Good burgers and shakes and stuff, and you also get a good pork barbecue sandwich there. Cookout. It's a fast food chain. I just had one of these 2 weeks ago. Runza. You know what Runza is.
No.
You don't?
No.
Runza?
Runza is a Midwestern chain. It started in Omaha, and it's a sandwich that's like a ground beef kind of pita bread rolled up sandwich with cheese and onions and stuff like
good.
That. It is good.
Okay. It's like a burrito.
Keith Moreland and I ate it. Runs in Lawrence, Kansas, 2 weeks ago today, in fact. It was on the Friday there, so we ate there. It's been around since 1949, mainly in Colorado, Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska. Okay? You know what they list as a small chain? Taco Cabana.
It's not a small chain.
that you don't know because it's only in Texas and New Mexico.
Okay.
But we know Taco Cabana. Like I said, you're going to hear some of these and you're going to go, what?
I see more Taco Cabanas than I do Burger Kings.
In these parts.
For sure.
Well, okay. Burger King sucks.
Well. All right. That's because they got rid of the chicken whopper, so he doesn't like that.
Telling her he's the only thing I have against Burger King.
You ready for another one? Raising Cane's. Cane's.
Cane's is limited to the South or what?
It says, and now it says it has 500 restaurants in 27 states. So
how is that a small chain?
I don't get that.
What is their greeting? Hey, hey, welcome chicken. Hey, hey, chicken was kicking.
I don't know, but you get mad at Cane's because they didn't give you ketchup unless you asked for it, right?
Correct. Yeah. Or one, okay. Stingy.
Okay. My daughter took me to one of these one time, Pollo Tropical.
Yeah, San Antonio based or Dallas based.
I had it in Dallas, I think, okay. Before. And that's El Pollo Loco is the one that's based in L.A. They're a big sponsor of Dodger Telecast.
Yeah,
but it's along the similar type thing. Burger Lords. It's in Los Angeles. Burger Lords, but some items include the Buffalo Ranch Tofu Burger. That didn't sound like that's
sounds
Jeff
disgusting.
Howe's favorite thing.
No.
Trey Elling meal.
Yeah, there you go. EG's, EEGEE, Tucson, Arizona. Burgers, hot dogs, stuff like that. Okay, ready for another one, Brahms.
Okay, but that's Brahms is pretty much limited to like the Midwest, right?
Or Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas, Missouri, Arkansas. Yeah.
And nothing south of Hillsboro.
Nothing south of Hillsboro as we know. All right. First Watch. Have you guys been to First Watch for breakfast?
No.
They're all over the place around here. They used to be, they were originally called the Egg and I.
Oh, okay.
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 But now it's First Watch. So okay. It's a little more upscale in some of their breakfast items there. Pizza Pit. I've seen this before.
Pizza Pit?
Pizza Pit. And I've seen it in Iowa. They have it in Iowa and Wisconsin. But supposedly pretty good pizza. Sheets. I did not curse when I said that. That's the convenience store chain in West Virginia. I see it all over Morgantown. But they do have a deli inside of it at Sheets. Habit Burger.
Ben Sheets.
Yeah, right. Spelled differently. Habit Burger. That sounds like California, doesn't it? That's a burger chain. One of my favorites as a kid, Biscuitville. Yeah, you wouldn't
Biscuitville?
Know, yeah, it's in North Carolina and Virginia. Great biscuits. Remember I was telling you about Tudor's Biscuit World in Morgantown? You get these big biscuits where you can get like, they're huge and you get like eggs and bacon or whatever. Or as I get sometimes when I go to the one in Morgantown, the Politician. It's called the Politician. It's egg, cheese, and a lot of bologna on it is what it's called that. Fried bologna.
I would love to try that.
Yeah, it's really good.
I think bologna's disgusting.
Fried bologna's great, though. Okay, a couple more. Pal's Sudden Service, that's in Tennessee and Virginia. No, you haven't heard that. Iceberg Drive-In, that's in Utah, California, and Arizona. And then, gotta like this one, Teriyaki Madness. It's in Las Vegas. Now, they have a place in Cedar Park. Linda's tried it. I have it. She likes it, called Cocky Teriyaki. That's there in Cedar Park. I have not tried that. And finally, the Great Alaska Pizza Company. That just doesn't sound right.
No.
Because,
anytime I think of delicious pizza, Alaska comes to top. It's top of mind.
Yeah. By the way, they also have Crystal in there. You know, the little hamburgers, the little sliders. They have those. And they have Texadelphia on the deal.
I don't even know where there is a Crystal now. There used to be one in Killeen. I don't know if it's still there.
Yeah, those have kind of gone away. I did White Castle when I was in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So, and they have Texadelphia on the list too. 11 locations.
You know Samuel Jackson. You know Samuel Jackson did a Crystal commercial back in the day.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Talking about those tiny onions.
Yeah, they are that.
See if I can find that during the break.
Try. In the interim, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll have another Longhorn Notebook segment coming up here on Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
There's a new coach.
Being beat up and battered around. Being sent up and I'm being shut down. You're the best thing that I've ever found.
This is Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig and Jeff with you here on this Friday. A couple other folks weighing in on the Specs text line. Somebody said, what about Bojangles? Yeah. Bojangles chicken and biscuits. You familiar with Bojangles?
Familiar with it. Never had it.
Yeah. A lot like Popeyes.
Okay.
That type of thing. Somebody else has a fast food chain called Hamburgini. I just like the name. Hamburgini. Somebody letting us know that Wawa is a gas station a la QT. Kind of like Sheetz.
I like how you said Greg right there. Kind of the Jerry Jones throwback about how he needed you to call a game on the old Silver Star Network back in the day.
Good to see you, Greg. Glad to have you with us, Greg.
You did his show for how many years, Craig?
Two.
Two? Okay.
Yeah, the two Super Bowl seasons. Greg. Good to see you again, Greg. Somebody else letting you know, got his first Pfizer shot on Tuesday. Only side effect was a swollen arm and a throbbing shoulder and collarbone. He thinks the pharmacist hit a nerve.
Ooh.
So far, you have nothing, right? Nothing. You're
nothing.
Not, your arm's not even
knocking
sore?
Knocking on wood. No, I'm good. I'm good. You know, I got a flu shot once, and I just noticed I was kind of looking. I hate needles. Truth be, I just hate them. So I look away, and I get a shot or blood drawn.
He's terrified.
And I'm looking away, and I think I don't remember. One of our major notable retail outlets, but I can't remember which one, so I'm not going to throw a pharmacist from one chain under the bus.
Thank you. It's one of the two, right?
Yeah. And then I heard her say, that's not supposed to happen. I said, what's not supposed to happen? She hit a vein or something because there is like blood just streaking down my arm.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
I was
like, did the shot actually work? She's like, yeah, you're fine.
Okay. That something like that happened to me when I was in college, I think at North Texas. I went to give blood.
Yeah.
And just this searing pain is in my arm, and the nurse putting in went, silly me, I missed the vein. Yeah. That all I could think of at the time was no good deed goes unpunished with that. Somebody asking about JoJo's and Sambo's Diner. Sambo's went away like in the 70s.
Probably a good reason for that.
Now, JoJo's. It was like going to Denny's. JoJo's, similar. I used to go to the one in Irving, and there was one in Dallas as well. That's the first time I ever had a Monte Cristo sandwich. Was it a JoJo's? One in Irving. Dumpster Man says, I was at a Sheetz in Pennsylvania, and the clerk asked me if I had the Sheetz reward card, but I didn't hear the reward card part and didn't know what to say. Then he repeated himself. I said, no, it was my first time at a Sheetz. We don't have them in Texas. He said, give us time. Somebody else, Mrs. Crystal in Texas, the Crystal Burgers. And someone else brought up Mr. G's there.
You know, when I was in LA for the USC game a couple years ago, I didn't. Yep. You don't have time to go get souvenirs, Craig. So I wanted something to remember that trip by. And I'm a huge fan of the movie The Big Lebowski.
Sure.
So I went to Ralph's and signed up for the Ralph's reward card just so I could have a Ralph's little keychain tagged on my keys.
That's like going to HEB. One of Ralph's.
Like when he's in the Malibu Sheriff's Office, they open his wallet, they pull out his Ralph's card.
The Ralph's card.
This is the only form of identification you have.
Ralph's card, absolutely.
You want to talk some Texas football, Craig?
Let's do. It's time for the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
Yes, we'll get in some Longhorn football talk before the end of the show today.
Yes.
How about we get you some spring practice notes? Scrimmage number two coming up. Scrimmage number two coming up tomorrow. We are just over a week away from the spring game. Surprise, surprise, Craig. The word coming out of camp is that the quarterbacks. Now, we did get Denzel Okafor's comments yesterday about Casey Thompson getting most of the reps with the ones and Hudson Card working in there a little bit. Our insider piece is posted at Horns 24/7 right now. That's our weekly collection of team news notes and nuggets from behind the burnt orange curtain. So you can get over there and check out the entire package. But while Casey Thompson is getting most of the reps with the first team, including he was the first quarterback out with the ones in last Saturday's scrimmage, Hudson Card is performing well when he's in there with the first group, and that is the key part of this. Because it sounds like both quarterbacks are much better working behind the number one offensive line right now than they are the number two offensive line. Now, your number one offensive line for the vast majority, actually for most of spring practice has been Christian Jones at left tackle, Denzel Okafor at left guard, Jake Majors at center, Junior Anguilau at right guard, and then right tackle being split between Andre Carrick and Isaiah Hookfin. Those guys are both working at the right tackle. Tyler Johnson has mixed in with the ones a little bit from what we've heard, but according to one source, the coaches are looking for him to kind of pick it up a notch. And you would think, Craig, you know, he's going into his third year. That's typically about the time where you need to really start seeing something. According to one source on Tyler Johnson, quote, the talent is there. Things just need to slow down for him a little more. If he takes the next step, he'll be on the field. His time is coming. So Tyler Johnson is getting to that point where he's there. But outside of those top, you know, six, seven guys, there's a really big drop off with the rest of the group. And that's why when we talk about offensive line depth, you know, in a perfect world, you'd like to be too deep. It's just not really realistic unless you're Alabama,
sure,
Ohio State, and one of the, you're competing for national championships every
year. And you've had it in place.
Yeah, and your program's at that level. Yep. It's just not realistic. So, again, I think you're looking at, if Tyler Johnson can come along, you get Derek Kerstetter back, Kyle Flood can find him those six, seven guys with a couple of swing guys mixed in there that he feels really good about going into the year. The other thing with the offensive line struggles goes back to a defensive line, Craig, that might be having the best spring out of any position group on the roster. I think it's close right now from everything I've gathered, everything we've reported at Horns 24/7. I think it's close between the defensive line and the secondary. And I'll get to the secondary here in just a second. But you look at this defensive line, your number one defensive line, Jacoby Jones and Ray Thornton. I think both those guys have maybe even surpassed expectations initially of this staff at those two defensive and outside linebacker positions, those two hybrid positions we talk about a lot, Keandre Coburn, the stalwart in the middle. You know, Alfred Collins has been working through a wrist issue that he came into spring with, which has kind of opened the door for Vernon Broughton to show the staff something. And apparently they like what they've gotten from Vernon Broughton. Tavondre Sweat being out, it's also created the opportunity for some guys to get reps. You know, Moro Ojomo's kicked inside and worked some more defensive tackle this spring, whereas he was an end in the previous defense. But also, Craig, hearing good things on Sawyer Gorham-Welch and Myron Warren in terms of those guys both flashing a little bit. So you've got a chance to be really, really deep and really, really talented on that defensive line by the time things are said and done. Now, obviously, this goes without saying, you don't have the presence you had with Joseph Osai, but I think the strength of your defensive line, where it was on the edges, now you focus it on the interior with Collins and Broughton and Coburn. And when you get Sweat back, you talk about those four guys right there, throwing Ojomo with five. Like, you're five deep at those two positions. Heck, all you need at that point is either one of Gorham Welch or Warren to come along. Now you've got legitimately three deep to rotate guys through at those two interior defensive line positions. So that group has done really well. And then the corners. You know, Josh Thompson has had a really good spring. Deshaun Jameson hasn't done anything to, you know, hurt his spot in the pecking order. We've talked a lot about Jameer Johnson, who's had a good spring. Yep. Darian Dunn has also performed well. Keaton Crawford has, even though those guys are in front of him, he's also mixed in and gotten some reps with the ones. Jade Barron hasn't looked bad. It's just now you've got a lot of bodies and a lot of competition at corner. And then I think maybe, Craig, the most intriguing position battle on the entire roster this spring is that battle at that nickel position, that star position, where apparently Anthony Cook has made enough plays that he and Chris Adamora right now, talking to sources, they're probably like 1A, 1B.
Wow.
At that nickel position. So Anthony Cook is really taking it. I couch this by saying we've unfortunately had a lot of experience seeing these coaching transitions.
That's correct.
And these regime changes. But Anthony Cook is one of those guys, and we've seen guys do this. John Harris is a guy recently that comes to mind.
Yep.
Of a guy that kind of flounders along. You're like, well, maybe I was expecting more from this guy. But then the regime change happens.
Fresh start.
And, yeah, they realize the page has turned. They can start anew, and they take full advantage of it. Anthony Cook, by all indications, Craig, he's a guy that's taking advantage of it this spring, and I think we'll be seeing a lot more of Anthony Cook in 2021 than we saw of him in 2020.
Okay. One other thing to update, we talked about Texas softball playing tonight at OU, of course, Longhorn baseball. Texas volleyball on to the Sweet 16, or they're saying third round the way that it's set up with the NCAA tournament. But they're in the Sweet 16. Texas had advanced to they got a bye in the first round. It was a cut down NCAA field, 48.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got a first-round bye, played Wright State, which had knocked out Samford, swept them yesterday. Tomorrow afternoon, they're playing Penn State. Penn State is the 13 seed there. They beat North Carolina A&T. A&T got to advance to that because Rice couldn't send their team. COVID-related issue, had to declare a no contest. Rice, the only team that's beaten Texas this year. Longhorns are 24-1. But they couldn't compete. Had to declare a no contest. NCAA&T went on, and North Carolina A&T was then defeated by Penn State. So it's Texas and Penn State in the Sweet 16. Texas, the number 4 seed, and Penn State, the 13 seed. And in the region. So they're going to play tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. On the other side of the bracket, because then the winners go and play Sunday, and then next week is the Final Four in the championship. They're condensing it all. So on the other side of the bracket, Nebraska knocked out Texas State in the second round. So they're playing, they're playing tomorrow against Baylor. Nebraska's the 5, Baylor's the 12. Baylor almost got knocked off by a play-in, Pepperdine, but they did win 3-2. So now Nebraska plays Baylor. The winner of that will get the winner of Texas-Penn State in the Elite Eight for a chance to move to the Final Four. In case you're wondering about the rest of the bracket, the number one seed, Wisconsin, looks the part. They're playing BYU tonight. Tomorrow, the winner, assuming Wisconsin wins, they play the winner of the 8-9 matchup, which is Florida and Ohio State. On the opposite side of the bracket, Minnesota plays Pittsburgh, a play-in winner who knocked out the 14 Utah. They play tomorrow at noon, and then the winner of that gets the winner of Louisville and Washington. Louisville 11 seed, Washington a 6. And on the other side of the bracket, that would be the Final Four bracket that would match up with Texas, Purdue and Oregon, that's a 7-10 matchup, and Kentucky, the 2 seed against Western Kentucky, a play-in that knocked out Washington State. So Jared Elliott's volleyball team bubbled in, clustered in, continuing to win, and they play tomorrow afternoon. All right, that's our notebook, and we'll be back to wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower here on The Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Counting in payroll, keep your time and money.
TGF Friday, ATX is Snoop Daniel repping custom athletic apparel.net. 512-567-2334. It's quality sublimated in tackle twill uniforms at an affordable price. CustomAthleticApparel.net. Now, weather permitting, we will be covering some soccer state championships this afternoon. 2 p.m., Dripping Springs taking on Wakeland, and at 6 p.m., Vandegrift taking on Flower Mound, both for state UIL championships. And our coverage is sponsored by CustomAthleticApparel.net. 10% off your first order. Tell them you heard it on 104.9 The Horn. Booster clubs out there, teams. If you need direct garment to printing, no minimum order or setup fee, CustomAthleticApparel.net, 567-2334. For all your custom athletic apparel needs, it's CustomAthleticApparel.net.
The Tower with Craig Way, Jeff Howe, and Snoop Daniel.
See, I guess Snoop has become a fan of the Monkees as well over the last 24 hours now, since we had the discussion yesterday about that, you know.
They have so many good songs.
Yeah. So, all right, got a couple other things.
Going to need to change the return cuts next week, I think, get to something else.
Yeah. Tom Emily Wolf fan wants to know, how about Poe Folks? I ate at the Nashville location 30 years ago. My understanding just exists in the Florida panhandle presently. There's lots of Poe Folks everywhere. No. Oh, you're talking about the restaurant. Yeah, okay. All right. Somebody said, I had Crystal during Mardi Gras, New Orleans 2003, somewhere in the French Quarter.
Isn't that where that LSU fan died after they played Alabama for the national championship back in 2011? Or I guess it would have been.
Was it really?
January 2011. Yeah, I think an LSU fan died at the Crystal there.
Yeah. Somebody said, y'all remember Bennigan's? Absolutely. They haven't been gone that long. Yeah. They kind of tried to reinvent themselves.
I'll tell you what, Bennigan's, the Bennigan's that was located at the Outlet Mall in San Marcos had their Miller High Life on tap was like the coldest, best tap, like draft beer I've ever had.
Okay. All right.
It's kind of icy, Craig. You know, had a little ice crystals.
Yeah.
In. Oh man, it was so good.
Rabbit from Taylor is reminding us about Ed's place in Taylor.
It's the champagne of beers for a reason.
And Penn Station subs. Yeah, I've seen those as well.
Don't you give me that look, Snoop, when I'm talking about Miller High Life? Turn turn your nose up at living the high life?
No, I was a Bud Ice guy, so it's basically the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing at all.
I actually drank, when they had it out for a while, Bud Dry.
Oh,
no, yes. I actually kind of like it. You got to like Budweiser.
Yeah.
You know, if you're, you know, to like the Budweiser-based products.
All it takes is one Budweiser hangover, Craig, and you're kind of reevaluate some things.
Okay. All right. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for the program today. Thanks to Chuck Cooperstein joining us on the program. And we invite you to stay tuned. Shirts and Skins, Chad and Trey coming up. For our man behind the glass, our producer, Snoop Daniel, for my co-host, Jeff Howell, I'm Craig Way. Have a safe and happy and enjoyable, relaxing weekend, everybody, if that's what you're after there, to be relaxed. We'll see you Monday, 10 o'clock, Monday morning, right here on Light the Tower.